Gap opp!
Du har trolig vært til tannlegen, satt deg ned I stolen og vitt på den der litt ubehagelige firkanten. Så blir det tatt et bilde ved hjelp av røntgenstråler som går gjennom huden din, treffer tenneren, og de her dukker da opp som litt gjennomsiktige tenner på tannlegens skjerm. Takket være stråling. Og stråling så mye mer enn røntgen. Det overalt rundt oss, og når vi klarer å registrere det, og gjør det om til bilder som vi forstår, ja, da kan vi til og med se det usynlige.
Du hører podcasten Smart Forklart med Aksel Fånes Persson.
Welcome to a new episode of Smart Forklart, the podcast where you risk to get more hope for the future and gain knowledge every time you listen in. It's made by us at SINTEF, which is one of Europe's largest independent research organizations, based in Norway, and that's where we are doing this recording right now, in Oslo, with Angela and Dirk. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. Angela Cook, born in Hong Kong, moved to England as a teenager, and now you're here in Norway as a senior scientist at SINTEF, and you've been here for 18 years,
yes. Wow. Very, very long time.
Starting to become a Norwegian then.
Yeah, I have Norsk borgerskap like this.
Fantastic. Great to have you on the Norwegian team. You have a PhD in electronic engineering.
That's correct,
on
yes.
On radiation detectors,
it's
right?
It's on radiation detectors, that's correct.
And Dirk Meyer from Germany, PhD in physics.
Das ist richtig.
Yeah, they were not doing this in German.
sorry.
Would be good for you, bad for the two of us. You're CTO in IDEAS.
Correct.
Don't like that title, do you?
Yeah, it's a chief technology officer, but we are all technology guys in the company.
You're a real team builder, I've heard. That's a company that makes integrated detector electronics.
Correct.
In a very wild field.
Yes,
everything
that's right. From space radiation monitoring, for scientists, but also medical instruments for imaging, diagnosis, nuclear medicine, and security scanning, thermal cameras,
wow,
and so on.
Wow. Been in Norway for 22 years?
That is correct.
Yeah. How's your Norwegian?
Barna means snakker norsk med meg, men hvis vi skal snakke norsk in det podcast, det ikke bare. Yeah, we should better stay in English.
You are better than you think you are, but okay, let's do this episode in English, and that's why we're doing this, because it's best for all parts
that
we
correct.
Do this
that's
one
correct.
In English.
I speak English every day at work anyway.
Okay, great. Great, let's do this. You've had a few research projects together, the two of you, and
yes,
plan for several more in the future.
We hope to have many more together in the future.
Well, yes,
let's
correct.
Sign the contract
correct.
After this.
And
everything you do together, it's all about radiation sensors and detectors. And let's just jump right into it. What do we use this technology for?
These technologies actually is it's like our eyes, we can see things, but this technology helps us to see things that we cannot see. So things are that are too small, things are that are hidden, or things that are just we're not capable to see it. That's the main reason for this technology.
Yeah. I mean, they're used in medicine for imaging, taking images like X-rays.
Yes, yeah, so we can see through things with this technology.
Yeah. For 100 years, Röntgen started with that, took the image a hand of his wife, and she saw her bones and said...
And
she,
screamed.
She said she saw her own death.
Yeah.
Because, so it looks through a flash. So medical imaging, but also security scanning. Scanning at luggage at the airport or dental X-rays.
So to sum up, it makes us see very small things that are invisible for our eyes. It makes us see through things.
Yes. Mm.
It's like a superpower, this thing.
It is.
Yeah. And we use it to understand more about the world, right?
Mm. Yeah. So to answer many questions in science and about our universe, that to get a better understanding of how things work. And that's the development of many different technology, actually.
Okay. But when you say radiation, some might get scared just hearing that word. Is it as dangerous in Norwegian stråling as many of us believe it to be?
It isn't. because it's everywhere actually. So we see it every day. The light coming from the sun is radiation. The heat coming out from a fire is radiation. But it just got some kind of a bad reputation over the years, actually.
Yeah, but some of it is dangerous, right?
Some of it is dangerous. And that is why we need to monitor it to keep us safe.
Yeah, I mean, there is ionizing radiation that is usually dangerous because it ionizes atoms or molecules, thereby it can break chemical bonds. And so it could affect the genome, human genome or the genome
of... Do we have examples of that? What
could be their example there? I mean, you could have a very, very simple, when you have a sunburn, you already have a small radiation damage. So in that sense, it can be dangerous, of course. But the easiest thing is just to shade yourself, get out of the sun, or when it's X-ray is a radiation, turn it off, then you're safe again. Or you shield yourself, put a lead vest on in a medical
setting. But the most part of it, radiation isn't dangerous things, it's just all over everything.
Yeah, it can be dangerous, but then we need to take precautions.
Okay.
And then with precautions and safety regulation is a very useful tool for us.
And these kind of sensors help us, among other things, in discovering dangerous kind of radiation. Yes, but just to have that clear, because radiation is important for the rest of the episode. What is radiation? Is it, you say it's everywhere.
I can say. So radiation is really just energy. It's also just heat. Any object emits radiation and we sense it as heat. But then when we go to radiation that has higher energies, then it becomes ionizing and then it's still heat, but it is, then comes, we think of it as quanta, as particles.
Yeah.
And every particle has its energy quant. And as a punchline, radiation is energy and is heat.
Yeah.
And it can do work.
Let me try to do, because I've seen a couple of YouTube videos now. Mm-hmm. I might be terrible wrong here, far off. But is radiation like, it consists of waves and particles?
Yes.
Yes.
Right? And it's all about discovering what kind of waves...
The properties of the different kinds of waves and particles. That's what we're doing here, I think.
Okay. Try to help. Say,
so, I mean, there are the subatomic particles, and that is classified as radiation as well. So, like protons or electrons.
It's the smallest building parts in the world.
It's a zoo of particles. Yeah. A lot of different animals, you could say. And then there are, of course, the waves. That can be photons. Gravitation is also a form of radiation, but it's normally not what we mean here.
All right. We could probably talk about radiation for like 24 hours.
Absolutely.
to how these radiation sensors and detectors work. Could you try to give us an image there?
Yeah, in very simple terms, actually, for people who are not coming from a technical background, a very simple analogy of a radiation detector is our own eyes, actually. So our eyes is a radiation detector that detect light reflecting from an object, and that's how we see things. And that is an radiation detector. And then our optic nerves sort of do some processing of what we see from the light, and that's equivalent to an electronic chip that does some kind of processing and eventually send an electrical signal to our brain where it's equivalent to a computer and then produce an image in our head. And in an electronic system, radiation detector system, that is an image on your computer screen. And that's also very similar to any digital camera. So you detect light, produce an image on your devices, on your phone, and things like that. So that's what it really is. And then using different kind of radiation besides light, we can see different things.
All right. Just to see if I get it right here, because then you and we at SINTEF, Angela, we develop sensors which can discover that light,
that absolutely. Radiation. Detect the radiation, yes.
Okay, so we can see that something is there And you, Dirk,
we work guys, mainly on the electronics.
Yeah, which actually interprets, translates what we correct. See yeah, to yeah, something that we understand.
We could go back when, I mean, also a photographic plate is a detector for radiation, but there is no electronics reading it out. So really the breakthrough a few decades ago that happened was to move the sensing to materials that can be read out by electronics, especially now microelectronics. And to build an image sensor, one needs many detecting elements. So like you said, the eye, of course, has a lot of cells that the rods and the cones that sense photons. And we need to replicate these cells by pixels, so picture elements in a sensor. And that gives every pixel gives an electric signal that we read with electronics.
Yeah, and these sensors and detectors, they are just getting smaller and smaller, right? So this is
absolutely. Yeah. They're getting smaller. The pixels are getting smaller, so we're getting higher definition and resolution.
And that's why we can have a camera on our mobile phone.
Yes,
which work as well.
Of course, they get smaller, but one should also say there's almost no sense in making the pixels smaller than the wavelengths of the radiation. So when we now have visible light as wavelengths of, let's say, a micron, a little bit below a micron, and the pixels in a camera are not smaller than a micrometer. So a micron, so it makes no sense to make them much smaller.
Okay, but just to I need to check if I'm getting this right on behalf of both me and the listeners. But something out there is giving some kind of radiation, like a human body is giving out some heat.
Yes.
Then something can detect that heat.
Yes.
A sensor can detect that heat, and the electronics interprets what the sensor have discovered.
Yes.
Yeah, but in more technical ways, if you are doing this in a technical explanation, what is happening?
Yeah, it's also a little bit simpler as well. So radiation, what it does, this energy usually, what we deal with usually what is called ionizing energy. So the energy passes through an object, it ionizes that object. So it will produce charged particles from it, so which is called electrons and holes. And these electrons and holes are then collected by the system. And the movement of the electrons and holes produce an electrical current. And that electrical current is collected by electronics, does some processing, and that goes into the computer, actually. So it's really a movement of charged particles. That's what we are detecting.
Mm. Yeah, so it's correct. You describe a current that can be measured, but there is also the example of a photovoltaic cell, which is not a detector, but collects light and converts it into electrical energy. I mean, all the solar cells that we now install on our houses or in the fields, they convert essentially the sun energy from the sun into electrical energy. These are photovoltaic cells. So there's a voltage measured across this cell. And what you describe in the sensor, there is often a current measured. And in our case, our electronics measures either a voltage or a current, but there can also be situations where one measures a resistance, an electrical resistance. It's also so many sensing mechanisms that can be exploited.
Yeah, and this is like, once again, we could have talked about different kind of sensors and detectors for like 24 hours.
24,
yeah. That's correct.
But just to help us understand what this sensors does, what have they done for us?
A lot, actually. So we started like over a century ago where the first X-ray radiograph to take images of bones inside our biological tissues to medical diagnostic, which is huge. And it's also discovered DNA structure, the double helix structure, absolutely vital. Without radiation, we wouldn't be able to see these structures. And then from our side, SINTEF have really played a big part in discovering big science. So, for example, discovery of the the Higgs boson that was discovered, which is a vital key part of the physics standard model.
Yeah, because what's that?
It's a basic physics to describe how what we are made of, how are things constituted of.
Yeah. And so, it's so small, isn't
very,
it?
Very small.
Yeah.
Very, very small.
And this technology helps us actually see that.
Absolutely. So, and it was part. Well, some of the detectors were made at SINTEF for discover this vital part of this physics model.
Wow. Yes. And the COVID too?
Yeah, so we also worked with some scientists at Stanford and we provided them with the detectors to discover, to actually understand the protein structure of a COVID virus. And that accelerated the discovery of the, or the generation of the new vaccine to fight the COVID pandemic.
Well, what do? Then they have like the COVID virus in front of them on a small plate in my head. And then they use these sensors to like dive into that
They lay out this protein structure and then they irradiate it with radiation. And then our detectors produce an image to show the structure of this protein.
Okay.
And then once you know the structure, then they devise the vaccine for it.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to add, we have image sensors in consumer electronics. Everyone carries a mobile phone.
Yeah, show us your mobile now, because so you have like...
My mobile phone, this is an iPhone. It has 1, 2, 3 image sensors,
yeah.
And the image sensor behind on the backside.
Like so, the three cameras on the
backside.
And
then there is a front side facing camera. So yeah. Then there's a LiDAR.
And all of these are radiation sensors?
These are visible light image sensors.
Yeah.
So,
as you said, they are capturing
images,
yeah,
of the world around us.
Capturing radiation, right?
That's correct.
And transforming it to something that we can see on the screen.
That's correct. I mean, we see, of course, the visible light with our eyes. But so when Angela talked about the ionizing radiation at CERN, I wanted to add there's the X-rays in dental imaging, for example, that everyone might go every year to a dentist and to take an image of the teeth and the root.
Yeah,
and
then you have to have something in your mouth that hurts, and then they bring some kind of X-ray camera into your cheek.
Yes, yes.
Take an image.
So this is an invisible form of radiation, the X-rays there, and it shines through the flash.
But now you're talking about this technology, because what you said, Angelo, was like the wow factor here, because discovering the Higgs boson particle and helping us discover cancer and COVID and stuff like that.
Yes.
But we actually have this in our everyday life.
And we have it in everyday lives. That's correct. I have brought a few examples here. So there's, for example, a motion sensor that some people might have in their homes to detect if an intruder enters the front door, or just to turn on the light when someone approaches. And these are sensors that have essentially two diodes, silicon diodes, that measure the heat from the human.
The heat is radiation.
The heat is radiation.
Wow.
But I brought also some other basic examples of this is essentially kind of a Geiger-Müller counter. It gives a click when ionizing radiation hits the sensitive volume. I can turn it on later.
It kind of looks like an old mobile phone.
That's correct.
With one or two buttons. And if you turn it on, it makes
an sound. On button. Let's see. Yeah. I can.
And if there's dangerous radiation in the room, it will make a lot of sound.
Now is on, and we hear. There was one click, so it's a very low activity.
Don't know if you hear that in the microphones, but that's a good sign that it don't make sounds.
I
brought another.
What's the last thing?
This is an what's called a gamma ray spectrometer.
Okay, that's like a cube on which stands on a tripod.
That's correct. It's actually a mock-up. There's nothing in there. But what is in there are four big semiconductor crystals where radiation interacts. So this is the sensitive volume, and our electronics reads the electric signal, like Angela described. And with that, one can do radioisotope identification, for example. So it's
so much, so broad. But we have talked about things on Earth. Now mm-hmm. we have to go trip out to space because there's so much in. I read on your webpage and IDEA's webpage that this might get used to discover, and you don't have to go into depth of that, but just to mention it. Might be used to discover like
dark matter, for example. Dark matter.
That's insane.
So dark. I really had
like
to read.
I had
to read up on that. So dark matter is essentially something that the astrophysicists need to explain the rotation of galaxies. But we provide electronics for experiments that try to detect dark matter. So this could reveal itself through an excess of charged particles in orbit, so outside of Earth.
Sounds like a couple of years until we get some answers from
there is no evidence yet. But so already for many decades, the scientists, of course, have instruments in space that search for dark matter, but also they explore gamma ray bursts. So these are the fusion maybe of two neutron stars or two black holes. And then there's a very violent emission of gamma rays. And our customers, the scientists, they try to quantify the number of such bursts. There's roughly one every day that comes by that is measured on the Earth. Fortunately, we are never really hit by it, but the electronics that we provide to our scientists measures one burst per day, roughly. And then when they see there is a burst, they can rotate the satellite to study that burst more in detail. And the Nobel Prize in Physics in 2017 was actually on the discovery that these bursts are correlated with gravitational waves. So this means there is a collapse of black holes that are very violently emitting radiation.
Yeah, well, space is mind-blowing. Anything you want to add about space, Angela?
Not so much. We have not worked a lot with space science so much, but actually recently another side thing that we're doing for space actually provides safety protection for astronauts because our atmosphere actually protects us from a lot of space radiation, and that is quite dangerous. So when astronauts are flying out, or our equipment actually, they get damaged a lot by radiation damage. So we have actually been working on a project on providing the next generation dosimeter for detecting radiation in space.
Yeah, I wanted to add that. So we all know the Van Allen belts. So these are at the poles, the North Pole and the South Pole.
Yeah, okay.
There are the there's a magnetic field that kind of vacuums the electrons and protons from space, and then they rotate around the magnetic field line. It creates the polar lights that sometimes we even see here in Oslo.
Yeah, and the northern lights on the sky here.
That's
in
correct. That's correct. And so we are building space radiation monitors that can be used on the Galileo geolocation satellites to prevent radiation damage, or at least warn about it, or take preventive methods like orbit raising or changing the satellite.
And also to gain an understanding of the radiation environment in space, which we know very little about. So that will help us in the future to understand a bit more how to prepare ourselves to explore more in space.
I think you guys could come back and we've got to do a whole new episode just on space.
On space.
Yeah, interesting. But this is like when you guys talk now, I get this hallelujah emotion in me. I get or feeling in me. It's like, wow, this is so great. Is there anything like negative or challenging with these kind of sensors?
I don't really see anything negative on the sensor itself. But of course, if you talk about, you know, what are these sensors going to be used for in the application things, I think a lot of things we're dealing with is diagnostic. We talk about X-ray imaging and use radiation to help us to see things that we cannot see. But we have to be careful about, you know, what happened when we are exposed to the radiation. So the goal would be to try to, in the future or now, we're working on, you know, reducing the amount of radiation that we are exposed to, but still allow us to see as much and as clear. of the things that we do not see today.
Yeah. You ask what is still maybe is a challenge on the or what is negative. So I see actually many challenges and still problems in quotes with the technology, which is, for example, I still think they are far too power hungry. It takes too much power, electric power. I would like to see.
Right?
I want to have them battery operated or operated with energy harvesting. I also think that many sensors are still too slow. So they have dead time, electronic needs dead time. So in that moment, it cannot process the radiation, so it loses radiation. I want to overcome this problem. Then we work on minifying or making electronics much, much smaller than it is still now. So there's, of course, a big trend to go to much smaller transistor sizes, and in our company we are part of this. We push for smaller transistor size in our designs that shrinks the electronics and puts more intelligence on our microelectronics.
Yeah.
So this could be, for example, eventually also artificial intelligence or digital circuits.
Because that's interesting, because the next step here, among other things, because you are as well working with this, Angela, at what's called MENA Lab in SINTEF. Mm. It's like making things really, really, really small. What's the next step here? We heard AI. What can that give us?
Yes, so we want to make things smaller, and we want to see things that are smaller and smaller and smaller. So there's all the challenge to give the resolution and things like that. And believe or not, many also other systems, you know, deal with the electronics, and we talk a lot about producing images on computer, but there are many other different systems actually that are still not giving you the online real-time images, and that is really important. So for example, like radiation therapy, where we would like to monitor, you know, the exact dose and location of the patient receiving the correct radiation dose.
So if I come into the hospital with cancer and get therapy for that, you need...
Yeah, we would like to know if the patient is receiving the exact dose in the exact location. So there's also quite a lot of work to be done there to produce a detector system that gives the high enough resolution, and also an online, real-time online system where to alert the doctors, okay, there's some deviation here and we need to stop this treatment.
And how can AI help us there? Is it talking about implementing?
Yeah, so the AI will be able to detect, okay, there's a deviation here, and we can adjust it and give us a signal and tell the doctor to readjust the treatment and so on.
Yeah, so it's a part of the team here.
Yes.
It's a sensor, it's a detector, and it's AI on top of that.
Yeah, so with the AI, I know that medical doctors have to analyze a lot of image data. And
It takes a lot of hours to
just assess the presence or absence of a cancer. So one can train image processing algorithms to at least give a first judgment on the presence or absence of a deviation.
We actually have an episode on that here in Smart for Crowd in Norwegian. Sjekk ut hjerteultralyd, søk om det, så får vi masse spennende om hvordan AI kan hjelpe oss her. Sorry, Dirk, back to you.
Yes, I could also say, so we just started a new project funded by the European Innovation Council with many European partners on what's called intelligent radiation sensor readout systems. So the idea there is that we know a lot about the physics of radiation sensors, and we use the simulation of these sensors to train artificial neural networks. So once they are trained, we will implement the trained network in our sensor, which sensor electronics, and then the electronics can make a faster decision. So the idea is to make a faster classification of the data.
The future is bright. Thank you. But talking about the future, because you both came from other countries to work with this technology here in Norway, and that's great for us, great for you, and great for the world. Mm-hmm. How is Norway's position in all of this when it comes to this technology?
Norway is a small country, mm-hmm. and we are a very small community working in this technology. But I must say a little bit about our history, actually, because actually, way before I came, there were some really strong engineers and scientists started pretty much pioneer the silicon radiation detector technology in Norway. We were not the only one, but we were amongst the one of the pioneers. So we've built ourselves quite a strong position in this community, and it's quite recognized in the world that we are good technology provider. But I see there are challenges there. We are a small community, and I think in the future we need to educate more young people. And we have this MINILAB, which is a fantastic world-class mm-hmm. facility that we got the funding for because we had a good history in this technology. But at the same time, this sort of infrastructure requires huge amounts of finances and manpower to run. And we really need to stay on top of the game, to stay at the top and to keep up with our research work and to keep this technology going to uphold our current position and to be better in the future.
Yeah, and should we get more companies in Norway to get their yes. eyes open for this? Because yes. most of your customers and partners
are international,
right? Yes. And you have a high standing international. You just had this conference called iWorld, which brought people from all the world to Norway hear about this. But I know that you as well, Dick, you really want more students to be able to come here.
Yes. So here I wanted to say it's correct. Norway is a small country, but it's a fairly rich and wealthy country. And I think now is an opportunity to invest this wealth into the future. And it's a very good educational system that could take on a lot more students, that could create a business, could really create innovation. And here is, in my view, the innovation is really the precondition for an industrial success. Of course, one could say, yes, I can dig into the ground and find oil, that is a lucky moment. So if many countries are not that lucky and they must innovate to survive. Okay, and so I think Norway should take that path as well. And that, of course, needs students that start new fields of research. Everything starts at research in the first instance.
Should come here, do their studies and stay here.
That's correct.
Make businesses.
Yes, we have to make them stay, actually. Yeah. That's true. So, yes. And we talked about we are both coming outside mm-hmm. of Norway, and actually so are many colleagues in our group and probably mm-hmm. in your company too.
That's correct.
And we also notice another thing, you know, people, a country like Spain or Italy, because they are less rich, actually, they are actually investing more in innovation. Mm-hmm. And our competitors in Italy and Spain, I see they are actually, you know, really investing in a lot of these infrastructures in laboratory mm-hmm. Fostering new talents.
Yeah, I think the emphasis for Norway should be really to create, to make the step from zero to one.
What does that mean?
So from nothing to something. So there is this idea in innovation, you can do incremental innovation, just changing something. But to do something truly new, so something that has not been explored at all, this is where Norway can make an impact. Of course, it needs smart people, and this is why I say it needs students that take this challenge and start something new.
And if we get to succeed with that, making investments mm-hmm. and getting smart people to come here and to work, as you guys have done, if we succeed with that, what awaits us, Angela?
Yeah, we can achieve a lot. We will be at the top of many great scientific discovery. We're building talents, which is important for all aspects of our society. We'll be investing in infrastructure, which will mean great discovery. And we will be making impact in medicine, cancer treatment, new vaccine, understanding of many different kinds of genetic diseases, and so on. So it's all very idealistic in some ways. But at the same time, all of these actually is the foundation of many business. You know, when you make a new vaccine, you make a new medical system, one thing I forgot about radon detection, for example, protection. It's actually a huge business which will create a lot of jobs and money for the country.
I unfortunately have a more negative take
on this.
No, 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 no. No, but I wanted to say, I mean, we see really, really big challenges in the future when it comes to maybe, you could say there's a population decline. I mean, the wealthy societies have less children. There are more elder people. The elder people need to be taken care of. They fall sick. And so technology, I think, is our only chance to deal with that situation. Also, there is a decline in industrial capacity in general due to overall challenges in societies due to climate change and so on. So we need technologies that help us to communicate, of course, through image sensors, to fiber, optical fibers. So, and this is where the great opportunity is for technologies.
Great. Okay, you lifted us up on, in the end there. If we just say the things you do, said we do should do. Invest, get people to come here.
Absolutely.
Need more people to do like you do. Come to Norway, stay here and get business and science going for the benefit of us all. Great. Great plan. Thank you. Thank you both for sharing your knowledge with us.
Yes.
Need to get you out there again, doing your things, discovering more about the world, and welcome back some other day to talk more about both space and everything here.
We
should do
so.
That.
Yeah.
Yes.
Takk til deg som hører på oss, uansett om det på norsk eller engelsk, da, har du ønsket om hva vi bør snakke om, så må du gjerne sende oss tips til bra tematikk på e-post. Smartforklart, alfakrøll.sintef.no er adressen der, smartforklart I ett ord. Og så blir vi veldig glad hvis du trykker på følg eller abonner-knappen der du fant denne her episoden. Da vil du så få beskjed neste gang vi legger ut noe nytt. Vi jo et av Europas største uavhengige forskningsinstitutter, så om du ønsker hyppig påfyll av ferskt forskningsstoff, så finner du det akkurat når det passer på Sintef.no, Sintef-bloggen, Gemini.no, eller ved å følge oss I sosiale medier. Nye episoder av Smart Forklart på vei, om ikke så alt for lenge, og I ventetiden frem til da, skal forskerne her I Sintef fortsette å utvikle teknologi for et bedre samfunn.